From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Hello and welcome to the pregame edition of the Wildcat Scoop podcast. I'm Wildcat Authority Senior Editor Jason Shear, and the Arizona Wildcats have a home game this weekend against the San Diego State Aztecs. Can Arizona do it? Can it end a losing streak that has gone for over 700 days? The last time Arizona won was blank. You probably have to look it up, which, you know, generally speaking, isn't a very good thing, but I went on this podcast last time. I believe it was actually the Sunday podcast when I broke down the BYU loss, and I said Arizona's going to win this game, and I'm sticking to it. I'm putting it out there on the internet, on the podcast, in the world. Feeling really good today. Just won $1,000 gambling. The first day that Arizona gambling is legal, I put a free bet on a completely random thing, and it hit. So my wife is not going to divorce me now, and we're back. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, there's an actual football game this weekend, and Arizona faces San Diego State. Should be a good matchup. I don't know if it's going to be a fun matchup, to be perfectly honest, because it's probably going to be a pretty ugly, low-scoring game. Both teams have aggressive defenses, which we'll get to in a minute, but it's not as if San Diego State is setting the world on fire with its offense. We will start on the offensive side of the ball with the Aztecs. You know, Jordan Brookshire, he went 6 of 19 with a pick against for 76 yards against New Mexico State. And the thing is, normally you would say, you know, oh, that's a one-off. You know, he's better than that, but he's really not better than that. I'm actually surprised that Brady Hoke couldn't find a better option than him. Last season was his first season with the Aztecs. He only completed 56% of his passes on 74 attempts, 2 TDs, 2 interceptions, 410 yards. So that's an average of 5.5 yards a pass. He's just not very good. Runs the ball a little bit, but the running averages are skewed because he gets sacked quite a bit. And so I don't want to say he's like not talented, because that would be mean. But like, for instance, you know, he was only sacked twice, but ran the ball a little bit against New Mexico State in that game. And that's really where his success was. He ran 7 times for 47 yards and a touchdown, had a long of 17. So you got to kind of watch out for him in that regard. But if he's beating Arizona with the passing game, something has gone terribly wrong. And so my guess is, just right off the bat, and I'll get to why even more in a second, Arizona is going to run blitz the heck out of San Diego State. It just makes the most sense. You know, it's a mobile quarterback, but I could see it being similar to the BYU strategy, with the main difference being that Jaren Hall is a significantly better quarterback than Jordan Brookshire. And so you may even see a more aggressive Arizona team with the run fits and all that. And the biggest reason is that for everything negative I said about the quarterback, you can take the opposite and say it about their running back, Greg Bell. He is a monster. Second team All Mountain West. He came to San Diego State with 1 year eligibility, but got another year because of the COVID. He's only 6 foot, but he is legitimately good. 5 career 100-yard games and only 11 games total. Had 4 straight 100-yard rushing games at one point. One of the best running backs in the country to the Senior Bowl watch list. Second team preseason Mountain West by everybody. Probably the best offensive player, if not the best offensive player. His first season, he rushed for 637 yards on 113 attempts. That's over 5.5 yards a carry. 6 touchdowns, also caught the ball 11 times for 114 yards and another touchdown. He is really, really good. He's legitimate. Was at Nebraska, was decent at Nebraska. Ran for 104 yards against Colorado at Nebraska. Wound up transferring, even though he started the first 3 games there. Was actually at Arizona Western at one point, and Arizona offered him But he picked Nebraska over Arizona, ASU, and a bunch of other schools. So he is legit. And simply put, he's the guy that Arizona needs to contain. I don't think they're going to stop him. If they stop him, then they are probably going to win that game going away. That would just be my guess, because San Diego State is basically going to put the offensive load on Bell's back and say, you know, go get him. You know, you take a look at what he did last season, and he ended the season with 17 carries against BYU, but they got down in that game. When they get down, they tend to go away from him. And so his max carries last season was 25 against San Jose State, but he ran for 157 against Utah State, 160 against Hawaii. Nevada did the best job of shutting him down. And what you see when teams shut him down is basically the cornerbacks are able to play man coverage, press coverage like Arizona, and they run blitz and they stop the run. And so Arizona is going to sell out and try to stop the run and basically say, look, if Jordan Brookshire can beat us, so be it. And I'm here to say that I don't think he can. I just don't think he's that type of quarterback. But Arizona has to be a little bit more disciplined in kind of what they do. In terms of wide receivers and all that, again, a lot of that is what you make of it in terms of the passing game. You take a look at what Brookshire did. He had six receptions to six different guys. Actually, to five different guys. And so he'll spread the ball out pretty well. Kobe Smith is a guy where 6'2", 185, put up good numbers, was the leading receiver last game, played as a true freshman, very good route runner, has 3 100-yard receiving games. He's starting along with a guy named Elijah Koth. But again, like, it goes back to what I said, you're only as good as your receivers or your quarterback. Sorry, so Elijah Koth didn't do anything, didn't have a catch in that first game. B.J. Busby, Jordan Bird, Daniel Bellinger, the three Bs, I guess we can call them. Busby's 5'8", speedy guy, 155. He most likely should have difficulty. Jordan Bird was out of the backfield a little bit, more of a running back. I mean, he had three rushing attempts and one catch. So, I mean, the leading receiver on the game only had, two receptions. So you only completed six passes. So it's hard to say, look, this is the guy that they need to watch out for. So there's no big dominant receiver. Elijah Koth is probably the guy that they have to watch out for the most. He's 6'4", 210. So he's a big body, more of a possession type of guy, but he's got great hands, starting X receiver, had a hand injury last year. So it's kind of him and Kobe Smith, which is the guy we mentioned before. Koth only had 111 yards and seven catches last season. So you just take a look at their overall receptions, and it's not, I'm like a broken record, but they're not going to beat you in the air. And if they've beaten you in the air, something has gone terribly wrong. Their best receiver last year was Jesse Matthews. And Jesse Matthews is here. He's on the team, but he's another guy where, it comes down to he didn't get the ball at all in the first game. And he's 6 foot, had one reception for 5 yards. Last year, 326 and one touchdown, and he was the best receiver on the team. Daniel Bellinger is a tight end. He's probably the second biggest weapon. They'll have to watch out for the tight end. But the way this defense is designed, he's no better than the tight ends that Arizona saw against BYU and were able to shut down. I don't think that the Arizona is going into this game saying we have to shut down Daniel Bellinger. He had 15 catches for 200 yards and three touchdowns, which is solid, but he's not the type of guy that's going to kind of change the entire trajectory of the game. Really, when it comes down to it, to put it bluntly, the biggest obstacle for Arizona winning this game would be the defensive side of the ball. San Diego State blitzes more than any team that Arizona will see this entire season, and probably more than Arizona, which isn't going to be a common thing. So basically, San Diego State runs the 3-3-5. They are aggressive as all heck, which I just said. They have 10 tackles for loss of 34 yards. They had 5 sacks. They had 3 interceptions, 7 pass breakups, 11 quarterback hurries, 2 forced fumbles. Like, they absolutely get out of it. They absolutely get at it. And so Cameron Thomas on the defensive end, one defensive end, he had 3.5 tackles for loss. He's a guy where, you know, Arizona's going to have to account for it. That'll probably be, in my opinion, one of the bigger challenges up front. First team All Mountain West 2 times. He is a legitimately good pass rusher, but can also stop the run, can move inside, can move outside. You know, he's more of a defensive end this season, but he has played inside. He's on the Bronco Nagurski Award list. He is the guy on that defensive line. Next to him, so they're going to play that 3-4-5. Jonah Tavai, solid, you know, not spectacular necessarily, but another solid player. He's another run stopper type of guy. Not really going to get there and big blitz. He's 6 feet, 295. Solid player, not spectacular. And then Keyshawn Banks is the other end. And so really when you're looking at the defensive line, it is pretty much Cameron Thomas. And that's, you know, what happens is they have to, you have to generate pressure. If you're going to do 3-3-5, that defensive line has to do its job. And San Diego State has a defensive line that does its job. And like, even with Tavai, like Tavai is, he's not going to rack up the numbers and he may not be spectacular, but he is a very solid defensive lineman and he does what they need him to do. And what's interesting is kind of a blast from the past is Cameron Thomas's backup is Kahai Neves. He used to be in Arizona, got into legal trouble and all that. And kind of had to move on, but he's the backup defensive end and he'll get some stats, some snaps as well. Noah Tumlin led the game with 4 pass breakups, 8 tackles. He is their he's one of their cornerbacks. He's a redshirt sophomore. The other cornerback is Noah Avenger, who's a freshman. I would expect Arizona to kind of go after him a little bit. I like him quite a bit. I think that he was kind of underrated coming out of high school. Went to Servite, 4-year letter winner, all that. 3-star, solid guy. You know, had other offers, legit offers from schools, waited time. Had some great issues, I believe, towards the end there. But he's a guy where he's a legitimately good corner. But again, freshman, hostile environment, first road game. They're going to go after him, I would assume. And he's going to be the corner where, you know, it's going to be interesting because Arizona has to make sure that they give Gunnar Cruz enough time to go downfield and to test that out. Because if they don't, it's going to be a long day for Gunnar. Gunnar has to get rid of the ball better than he did against BYU. And he wasn't awful against BYU, but he has to get rid of the ball better than he did. Because if not, it's going to be a very long day for him. They have a experienced defense. So San Diego State, you take a look, redshirt, junior, transfer, senior, grad, freshman, redshirt, senior. That's their starting lineup on defense. They are a very experienced group that plays well together. They are not easy to score against. That's why I said earlier, this is probably going to be an ugly game. And you take a look at the fact that they had 5 sacks, and it was 5 different guys that got him. And so they are a talented team defensively. Caden McDonald at the Sam linebacker, if you're looking for a linebacker to watch out for, it's probably him. Big kid, 6'3", 235, originally from Texas. First team All Mountain West. He's been a player of the week before. Always, like, if you take a look, like Anthony Pandy is similar for Arizona, where if a tackle's being made, there's a guy near the ball. It's him. He is one of the best linebackers probably in the country. Junior season was preseason at 34 tackles, 9.5 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks, 10 hurries, 3 breakups, 4 fumbles, started all their games, was 3rd in the conference in tackles for loss out of the linebacker position. And that's what you're going to see. Run blocking, double tight end, etc. So like Michael Wiley, Drake Anderson, if Rocker gets snaps, they have to be able to block. I would expect Arizona to go to a lot of 2 tight end sets. I could see Clay Markoff playing more than he did against BYU in order to kind of counteract BYU's pressure. So The reality is that, I mean, this game is easy to figure out, but not necessarily easy to win. And what I mean by that is the part that's easy to figure out is clear. Defensively, Arizona needs to contain Greg Bell. It's very hard to stop him. If they stop Greg Bell, they've won the game going away. If they contain him, they probably win the game anyway. Now, if they contain Greg Bell and for some random reason Jordan Brookshire goes off, they've lost the game. Like, Brookshire can't go off. It's got to be kind of a San Diego State-esque game where maybe Bell gets 100, 110 yards, you know, 4 yards a carry, but Brookshire does nothing. You're okay with that if you're Arizona's defense. So you're going to see a lot of run blitz action from Arizona. And it'll be interesting to see if San Diego State, which I'm guessing they will, goes double tight end, similar to what I think Arizona is going to do as well. Offensively, they're going to blitz. I mean, San Diego State, the Aztecs are going to blitz like every down type of deal. It is going to be crazy. So Gunnar Cruz has to get rid of the ball. He cannot hang on to the ball. The running backs have to be able to get off and see the holes. But most importantly, it's going to come down to the offensive line and the tight ends. If San Diego State is blitzing all the time, but Arizona's picking it up, Arizona's going to win this game. Like, when a team blitzes, if you pick it up, it's over. That team either can't blitz anymore or they're going to lose the game. And so Brendan Carroll has a very tough job this week. And so my guess in terms of how the game looks, I think Arizona does a good enough job. I think it's going to be an ugly game, like a 20-17 type of deal. I think Arizona does win the game. And really, you know, we can go back and analyze how and all that, but at the end of the day, it'll be the first win in 700 some odd days, so no one will really care how it happens, as long as it happens. So as of the time of this podcast, Arizona is favored by 2. I'd probably pick them by a field goal. So it'll be interesting to see Jed Fish's first home game. A lot of stuff they're doing, pregame concerts, halftime stuff, DJ in the Zona Zoo, all that. So it'll be interesting to see how many fans show up and what kind of atmosphere it is. But either way, we will have a post-game podcast on Sunday coming about Arizona versus San Diego State. And it should be a good one. I'm senior editor of Wildcat Authority, Jason Shear, and this has been another Wildcat Scoop podcast.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.